It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the past, we've explored the concept of entrepreneurship. But what about intrapreneurship? It's a concept that is becoming increasingly popular with companies, and here to tell us more about it is our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, Director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, as always, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. It's nice to see you today.
Okay. It's nice to see you, by the way.
Thank you very much.
What is intrapreneurship? Intrapreneurship.
I-N-T-R-A for our listeners. So intrapreneurship is short for intra-corporate entrepreneurship. And it's a process where a person or a team within a large organization assumes direct responsibility for the development of an idea into a product or service that becomes profitable through a sort of risk-taking, through innovation. So intrapreneurship almost is like being an entrepreneur in a large company. And it's really taking off now. It's a very important trend because companies are looking for ways to innovate, to compete on a very global scale. So it was first developed by a guy named Gifford Pinoche in 1978. But who was the person, Paul? Here's a quiz for you. Who first used it in 1985. He was quoted in Newsweek magazine as being really the first person who used the concept of intrapreneurship to apply to his company and his people.
Lee Iacocca.
It's not a bad guess. It really isn't. So it was Steve Jobs, Apple chairman at the time.
He should have known that.
Right. The Macintosh team, he said, this is what you're going to do. You're all going to think like entrepreneurs. You are going to be called intrapreneurs. And basically what he said is it's a group of people going back, in essence, to the garage. I mean, they're going to work it from the beginning, but in a larger company setting. So it's very important for existing businesses to really think like entrepreneurs now and to really be able to have that kind of impact and ability to move on a dime.
And so why do companies need intrapreneurs?
Intrapreneurs. I know. And it's sort of a concept when you think about it, you're like, really? But so here's the thing. If you have to promote and support innovation within your existing structures, you have to compete. You have to maintain an edge in the marketplace. And intrapreneurs are the people who can identify new products and new services to sell to existing clients. And that's really critical now.
So Steve made Steve Jobs
genius.
An entrepreneur, an intrapreneur, because
right.
he envisioned that I'm going to create something that people don't know that they need it now, but they're not only going to need it, but they're really going to want it once I create it.
Yes. And also it was within this larger and larger structure. And what happened was he captured so many people who currently had his products, and then they bought new products. So the cost of acquiring a new customer is much more expensive than selling a new product or service to a current customer. So economic constraints are also forcing these large companies to really act like startup businesses. They have to be more creative. They have to be more dynamic. And entrepreneurs are naturally more engaging across different groups of people and organizations. They'll go and seek out engineers. They'll seek out art people. They'll seek out marketing people. They'll cross divisions because that's sort of how they think. And you really want to keep and advance your exceptional players. And this is really why companies need entrepreneurs.
And what can companies do to encourage and support entrepreneurs?
Right. Well, that's really the key, because we all tend to work so much in our businesses, churning every day. How much time do we spend on our businesses?
Yes.
I saw that big sigh. I saw that. So it's day to day because you have to. So you can foster a culture where everyone has responsibility to voice and identify opportunities. Really, that's so important. You build an employee base that's innovative and agile. You inspire your employees and offer them exposure to resources and trends and insights and best practices and seminars and conferences. And that inspires people. I know that a number of companies actually set aside a percent of time for people to think and create new products and services. So these intrapreneurs are given time. Earmark funds. Some companies earmark funds. They say, okay, this is it. We're going to have a certain percentage of dollars that go toward this idea. And some companies have created an innovation zone. So you get all these people coming together in one area, physical area, where they can really talk and create. And I think that is cool.
Talking with Rebecca Harris, who is our business contributor. And what are examples of entrepreneurship in local and national companies?
Well, when you look at entrepreneurship, it's really responsible for a lot of product innovations around the world. So Lockheed Martin, you're right, a number of famous aircraft designs. So that was a very much of an entrepreneurial effort. 3M, the employees came up with post-it notes. I mean, that was just some employee who was working. It was like, bing, the light bulb went off.
So the thing I was right about was this envisioning yeah. something that no one else has thought of, right. but that people will know that they need or want.
That's totally right. And at Google, a lot of the employees within it said, you know, we need Google News. We need to create AdSense. We need Gmail. And so these are an example, and certainly we have Google here, of companies that embrace the idea of allowing their employees to become entrepreneurs and to capitalize on new ideas. Google has a program, a 20% program, where a lot of their employees are allowed to work on contests and hackathons and programs where they can share their expertise and create. Here in the city, UPMC has a chief innovation officer. The city of Pittsburgh has a chief innovation officer. So we're really seeing a lot of adoption of these principles. Companies are now getting an entrepreneur in residence, meaning they're taking an entrepreneur who really operates their own company and bringing them inside.
So that's an entrepreneur
they call it an entrepreneur in residence. So they're bringing in somebody who thinks and acts entrepreneurially, and then the people in the actual company and ecosystem can really learn from that person. It's a really good idea.
All right. And how can you, and I'm talking about you, Mr. and Ms. Pittsburgh, how can you become an entrepreneur? Rebecca, tell them.
Well, and I think of myself as an entrepreneur every day, and I think of so many people that I see in our companies, in our nonprofits, in government organizations, in our for-profits, who really think and act like this all the time and don't really realize it. 500 ideas sort of every minute. And you have to believe in your ideas, but you also have to know when they're realistic or not. You're kicking your creative side. You have to really create a new product or service when you see a need in the marketplace. And some people will be happy, but they don't do anything. You have to act. You have to develop your leadership skills. You have to become an expert in your area. And things like honing your communication skills so you can explain to people why something is important. And even more importantly, you have to be willing to take risks. Entrepreneurs take risks every single day. So we need our entrepreneurs to take risks as well.
Rebecca Harris is our business contributor, and she's director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Maybe you can open a center for,
women's entrepreneurship.
Talking about entrepreneurship today. Rebecca, as always, great thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Tomorrow on this program, actor LeVar Burton talks about the return of Reading Rainbow. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.